Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, with the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, color analyst Jeff Lagerman, and Jaguars.com senior editor Vic Ketchman. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Community First Credit Union, Carrie Limousine, Wachovia, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
Good evening. Welcome inside Jaguars Central, inside Everbank Field in Jacksonville for another edition of Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. I'm Brian Sexton. Vic Ketchman is here. Jeff Lagerman is here. Joe Fortunato, John Dineen, all here for you this evening. Next 2 hours, we'll talk about the Jaguars, look forward to the Monday night game. We're sitting here watching this the show on NFL Network, and the Eagles, we saw it firsthand right here, 28-3.
Yeah.
But then they put in Kevin Cobb to go to the West Coast and beat San Francisco.
Yeah,
that's a good team.
Good team. Good team, and defensively got a lot of guys that can rush the passer.
Yeah.
That's a good combination.
Well, the only thing they're going to be struggling with is, I guess, Bunkley got hurt, and he may be done for the year. And, you know, they're not particularly stout up the middle. They kind of got a little bit of the Colts kind of feel to them defensively, you know.
Small.
Well, they're running the ball. Where are they in the running game now? They used to be one. I know they're high.
They're high, and it's pretty amazing that they're that high because you know, everybody always says that Andy Reid wants to run the ball.
Right.
I ain't buying that. Andy Reid likes to throw the ball.
Okay, well, without Vic, they're down to 10, but McCoy had a big game Sunday night, and they are running the ball, and they are rushing the passer, and that's a great combination.
That's a great combination. By the way, that's the team that's coming in here. The Titans on Monday night are doing just that as well.
Yep.
I mean, they're running the ball, and they lead the NFL with 22 sacks. And you watch the tape on Monday, so we can obviously dive into that. Before we do, real quick, also on Monday is the Jaguars' 16th annual First Harvest Food Drive here at Everbank Field. Donations will be accepted at all stadium gates, and fans who make monetary or non-perishable food donations will also receive a 2010 Jaguars yearbook, the 16th annual Jaguars' First Harvest Food Drive, Monday at Everbank Field, for Monday Night Football.
And you got to wear your teal when you come on Monday, and tickets are available.
Right. Jaguars.com, 633-2000.
Go ahead and knock it all out.
Yeah, might as well. You know, thanks, Logan.
Get it all out of the way.
All right. 7 o'clock. Turn the mic on.
What, Joe? Can't hear you.
7 o'clock. Tony's coming on.
Is he coming in?
No, on. He's going to call.
What, he can't drive down here and do the show in person?
No.
Okay. We'll call him then. So
Tony,
back to business.
Tony, Ticket Tony.
Ticket Tony.
Okay.
I haven't called him that yet.
He's out in the business community with Luca Brasi, you know, making offers they can't refuse. I'm telling you, they're going to move these tickets one way or the other.
And there are plenty available, folks. You've got till Friday at 1 o'clock for the blackout number.
Take the Bocelli and leave the cannoli.
I left it on the table for you. let me say something.
Please do.
Everbank, you are a friggin' genius because what you're doing with the signage in this ballpark is sensational.
This place
has never looked this good. What was Altel thinking?
I don't know.
They put up a little sign on one on each side and didn't do anything else.
Everbank is taking full advantage.
Oh yeah.
For those people that are wondering what we're talking about, you know, for every home game so far, they had a temporary sign up on the East and West Club,
right.
And you know, it's not lit. It's not three dimensional. It was a flat sign until the new ones were being built, and they have the new ones going up right now. They will be lit. And then all the way across to the top of the upper decks, I mean, they're putting these banners out that are going to be there for the entire season. It looks really good.
Jeff,
you can
read
quite clearly from the Main Street Bridge.
I come in early enough in the morning and it's still dark, and these things are lit. And I want to tell you, on the east side, it's done, and it is gorgeous. This place has never looked this good. I mean, they're putting signs where no one thought signs could go, and I can't imagine why. No one figured this out previously, because if I'm going to spend all this money to name this place, then I'm going to have my name plastered all over it, and it is plastered all over this place, and it looks great.
And especially for the Monday night game.
It looks better now than it did for the Super Bowl.
I'd agree with that. Yeah, it does. It looks really good.
Yeah, it was not decorated like this for the Super Bowl.
And certainly not a better time to do it than with the Monday night game coming.
Yeah. Oh, it'll be done by then.
Oh, yeah, this is your moment. Night, yeah. As it was getting dark, as I was leaving after doing Jack's show. I mean, they're going to get this thing done.
Yeah, I'm hoping one of those. Yeah, I mean, they're up. You got the cranes and everything. I'm hoping one of those signs falls on my car. while I'm in here, of course. Yeah, right. I'd like to get something a little bigger.
He never leaves you guessing, does he, folks?
That'd be a long fall.
It's about the money, you know.
All right. So Monday Night Football, Titans are here. We started talking about this is a team that runs the ball with Chris Johnson, and they lead the NFL with 22 sacks.
Yeah, kind of a similar team to the Jaguars. The only difference being is that, you know, the Titans defense is, I don't want to say great, but I mean they're playing better than the Jaguars defense overall.
Up front. Because their secondary is playing worse.
Yeah, up front. I mean, they're giving up a ton of passing yards, particularly in the last 3 weeks, but they roll a lot of guys up front, and it is a very similar offensively. You know, you can compare Maurice to Chris Johnson. You can compare David to Vince Young, similar styles. You know, offensive line, fairly young offensive line, up and coming. A quarterback that's mobile, quarterback that's not asked a ton in a game plan. Two good special teams units, and defenses are a little bit different. But, you know, the Titans defense is all about effort. I mean, that's what it is. It's an effort defense. They're not extremely talented, but they play hard.
All right. We are due for a break. Let's go ahead and get it out of the way right now. We'll come back and dive into the show. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. More to come. Jaguars This Week on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Rolling right along here, Jaguars This Week continues from Everbank Field in Jacksonville, Monday Night Football. By the way, we begin our coverage at what time, Joe?
5:30.
You can turn the microphone on.
5:30.
Turn the microphone on.
He doesn't like to do it.
I want to yell.
He's like the guy from, what was that Tim Allen show, the guy on the other side of the fence?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You never saw his
name. Wilson.
Wilson, yeah. That was a cool show.
So what do you have to say? 5:30?
5:30, yeah.
Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue tailgate show?
Yeah.
7:30?
7:30 would be the pregame show.
What time's kickoff?
8:40.
Wow.
8:40.
It's got an extra 10 minutes. Can you handle it?
Boy, that allows a perfect amount of time for a little tailgating action.
I think so.
Yeah. People can get off work, come right down.
Yep.
Have a party.
Yeah, get off work, say 5:30. Drive over. Enjoy the view while you're driving in of the new colors on the stadium.
And Tuesday's a day off for those that work in Jacksonville, in case you didn't hear them.
Yeah.
I just threw it out.
And in case you don't
someone's
know.
Someone's going, whoa, Log, didn't hear this.
Just call Loggy. He'll write you a note.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it might get you off for, I don't know, half an hour or so. All right, so 5:30 with the kickoff show. So where do we begin with the Tennessee Titans?
Jeff Fisher.
All right.
It's where it's always got to start. I mean, the guy is, you know, what's amazing, you know, we get the press releases and all that. And, you know, he's the only coach the Jaguars have ever known for Tennessee. I mean, he's been there, what, 94? He took over as interim coach.
Final six games of 94.
You know, he's a guy that certainly made comments in the past that, you know, this is a home field for them, too. He's had success here. But, I mean, it's very rare that you have a coach that's the only coach a franchise has ever known as far as across the field.
Really good coach.
And he is a really good coach. And the team, I think, plays like his personality, which is feisty. A team that's been fined immensely. Over the last, you know, 4 weeks.
And they're talking
weeks.
About Fisher, not me. Just want to let you know.
So they have definitely been accused of being dirty. Finnegan's been fined. He was fined 3 consecutive weeks. Their defensive coordinator was fined $40,000 for flipping the bird to an official.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's the owner flipped a double bird.
He gave the double bird. Yeah. With gloves on. The white gloves. Not the owner's box.
That's right, because he was sick.
Yeah, he wore those white gloves. And
he was worried about the flu. That was that.
What a franchise. Well, I mean, it's not as bad as what Favre did. I mean,
what do you mean?
Sending pictures of little bread around, you know?
Little bread.
It is a weird week in the NFL, isn't it?
How is he going to get suspended? I mean, you know, they suspended Roethlisberger 4 weeks for not even being charged with anything. I mean, this guy's sending pictures of little Brett to league employees.
Oh, wow.
Right?
You're killing me.
Well, I mean, don't you got to get something for that?
For little Brett.
Yeah, you'd think you'd get something for that.
Yeah.
He's going to get something. If
you think?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He's hoping.
If he ends up, if they find out and have proof and it's viewed as being harassment, the hammer will come down.
Well, I can't imagine it's not harassment. I mean,
I'm just telling you what they said, and that the league has said that if they can determine that it was harassment, not, you know, playful banter, and it was, you know, known that it was coming on the other side or something like that. You don't know what I mean by that. Is that if the girl was actively involved and it was something that was mutually agreed upon or encouraged. And I don't know, but if it was viewed as harassment, even the great Brett Favre will serve a suspension, and I wouldn't be surprised if he does get it, then that's it. It's the end of the Brett Favre era.
If I said to one of the secretaries tomorrow, "I love your hair," I'd be fired by lunch. You know, I mean, I can't imagine this isn't harassment.
I don't know. I don't know all the details, but I just, you know. You don't send pictures of little Brett to anywhere.
Yeah. Let's grab a phone call here and interrupt this conversation. Louise joins us from the north side. Hello, Louise. How are you tonight?
I am just fine. Gentlemen, it looks like we've got our work cut out for us this week.
How so?
And I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the Tennessee Titans being on a run. If they keep getting sacks the way they have been in the last two games, they are boasting that they're going to have 70 sacks by the end of the year.
Louise is well informed. They have 12 sacks, 6 in each of the last two games.
What would you do?
And anybody talked about Jason Babineau? He's
no.
the one that had 5.5 last week. So how do you go about?
He's got 5.5 on the year.
5.5 on the season.
Yeah, he's got 5.5 on the season.
What would you do, Jeff? Louise wants to know what you would do.
What, with their defensive line?
To avoid being sacked.
Block
I know what I do.
Block them.
And run the ball.
Well, it's always difficult to run it against the Titans. And, you know, if you look at the games that they played against them last year, they really come out aggressive throwing the football because the Tennessee Titans are old school. They play 8 guys in a box, and they've always played David Garrard to challenge him and to put all the pressure on him. I would expect nothing different. And I would expect that you're going to, because they do play fairly good run defense, that you will have to have David make plays in this game. Yeah. And I think that this game will go as David Garrard goes. And it will be interesting to watch because David has not had his better games against Tennessee.
No.
3-6, I believe, against the Titans. You know, 11 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. They challenge him. And when I... Most people will take, well, what do you mean by they challenge him? They want their defensive philosophy, as a lot of teams are against the Jaguars, is that we are going to stop at all costs number 32, Maurice Jones-Drew.
And make you one-dimensional.
And if you can throw it, go ahead. Mm-hmm. We don't believe you can beat us by throwing the football. We're going to stop 32. Mm-hmm. And I expect to see that on Monday night. This is a game that will depend on the ability of David to have success.
Well, he's had 2 good weeks in a row. Can you use that as a barometer of what you're going to see on Monday night? He's had 2 really good weeks.
Well, he's had 2 good weeks, but he's a quarterback that, you know, they don't expect him to carry it week after week after week. I mean, I thought last week was a real solid outing. The interception that he had was not his fault. He was dependable when they needed him in the red zone. He was dependable on third down. But he's not a quarterback that say, hey, David, you know, we're going to put it on your shoulders, and we expect you to throw him first and second down. That's just not the style they play, nor should they play. He's not that type of level of quarterback, and that's not, you know, criticism. That's the way it is. So we'll see. But Eugene Monroe, Evan Britton, they can handle those 2 guys. You know, Babin, come on.
This is his 5th NFL
5.5 sacks. He's been bounced around the league a ton. You know, is he that good?
Seahawks, Chiefs,
He's an effort pass rusher. Eugene Monroe should eat his lunch and the brown paper bag it came in. Evan Britton should eat Dave Ball's lunch and the bag it came in on. I just really believe that those are two guys that they do not need to help in pass protection whatsoever. Now, Jason Jones, number 91 for the Tennessee Titans, folks, if you're going to be here or at home on TV, watch this guy. He is the real deal. He is a stud. Tony Brown used to be a stud. I don't know what's wrong with him. He looks like he's hurt. Did he have an injury or something last year?
Brown?
Tony Brown?
Not that I can recall.
He doesn't look the same. I mean, he's still playing a lot, but he looks like he's hurt. So I don't know.
I haven't seen an injury report yet, so don't have to put the first one out till tomorrow.
He's not playing like he used to.
Right.
I mean, Tony Brown was dominant last year.
Jones is a guy that the Jaguars like.
Or a couple of years.
Tony Brown's a dirty player, isn't he?
Huh?
He's a little extra effort.
Mm-hmm. He's not a dirty player. No. He's not a dirty player. I've never seen him.
He got fined out the butt last year. I mean, he had lots of extra effort at the end of every play, and he got warned by the commissioner. So
I don't see him being a dirty player. Now, Courtland Finnegan, he's a trash talker.
he's been fined, too.
He's taken some shots this year, some late shots from behind.
He's gotten fined. Oh, he has. Oh, yeah. I'm trying to think of the game that I saw, which he took a shot in the back of the head. But people, you know, when you run your mouth like that, you better have your head on a swivel.
Yeah.
And he likes to run his mouth, and often. And he's not playing that well. But that's not a good combination.
You know, Fisher's in a bad spot, a tough spot, because he's on the competition committee, and there's Kyle Orton and Josh McDaniels and a lot of other coaches, too, are pointing the finger and saying, hey, they're teaching dirty stuff. I mean, that's a contradiction of sorts. Here's a guy on the competition committee, which is all about the rules.
He's the co-chair of competition committee.
He's the what?
The co-chair.
Competition committee, meaning all about rules, and he's being accused of playing outside the rules. Does he?
I don't think they play outside the rules, but they're chippy. And that's where the stuff is coming, where the fines are coming from. It's a chippy team. You know, to me, this is a bare-knuckle, alleyway team, barroom alley type of team. That's what it is. And sometimes it goes over after the play, and that's where it becomes finable.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they get their terms dirty.
Okay.
All right, folks, we need a break here as we reach the bottom of the hour. You can vote for your favorite MVP teacher to be the Community First Credit Union MVP Teacher of the Week. Your teacher could win club seats to a Jaguars game. All part of First Down Touchdown for Teachers. Visit communityfirstfl.org for details. More to come here on Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Only on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
All right, here we go. We had Gary Holt through the entire break, news and all, and so let's grab him right out of the gate. By the way, if you want to do as Gary did, call us 800-355-NFL1, 355-NFL1. Hello, Gary. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Brian. How you doing?
Nice to talk to you. What's going on tonight?
I just had a quick question. I guess the question would be more directed towards Jeff, and I guess you two, Brian and Vic. It's about Maurice Jones-Drew. I watched the Buffalo game. I recorded it, and I went back and I watched it the other night. Is it just me, or does it seem like Maurice just doesn't have that burst? Because I've seen on one play when he ran through the line, but even when he ran through the line, it was like he didn't have that same burst as where I guess I'm normally accustomed to seeing him. So I don't know whether it's just my eyes playing tricks on me, but it just doesn't seem like this year alone, he just doesn't have that second gear as he had last year.
And Gary, I think the play you're referring to is where he went around the Jaguar sideline and pretty much had Dante Whitner in space. And, and in the past, you might see Maurice kick that in the gear and just outrun somebody. That's what we've been kind of talking about, I guess, throughout the season, that, you want to see that pop or that burst out of Maurice, and, has he really got it? I would say this, is that Maurice clearly is still a dominant runner, but that burst I don't think is quite at 100%. I mean, think about it. In preseason, he had knee, he had ankles, which he had to come out in games over the last couple weeks at times. So does he have it? It's still good, but it's not elite like it once was. And will it come back? We'll see. It's very difficult for a back to get healthy during the regular season, but it is possible. You know, now he's got this wrist thing, you know, on his right hand, wrist, hand, arm, whatever you want to call it, to kind of add to that mix. So he's a back, you know, that's the kind of runner he is. He's an Earl Campbell type.
Oh, yeah.
And Earl Campbell types are going to get banged up.
Yeah, you know, you just hit on it. I was, if you hadn't said it, I was going to say it. I think we're missing something. I think what we're missing is that Maurice's true personality as a running back is coming out. He's a pounder.
Yeah, he's a pounder. And, boy, the emergence of Deji, boy, it's only going to help Maurice.
Right.
Because now you have a back, as well as Rashad Jennings, if he can get back and playing at the level that he's flashed at, that you don't have to wear Maurice out, I guess you could say. Maybe it will let him get some health back and let him get that burst back. Because if you can get towards December with an opportunity to playoffs, boy, you got to have two backs so you can go into the playoffs with a back that's got some steam.
Appreciate the phone call. 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. What's Deji's role in the offense? I mean, last week he got more carries, obviously, because they needed him to, but over the course of a regular game.
I think he defined it last week. The big question is what kind of a role does Rashad Jennings have now? I mean, you got a back, and I know, Vic, we had this conversation in pregame, and you were kind of excited to see Brock, and I was kind of going gaga over Deji. But anytime you have a back that just has elite speed like he does and elite acceleration, I mean, he can go to the house at any time. And that's somebody to get excited about. Now, I don't know how good of a pass catcher he is, and can he take that role away from Rashad Jennings? Because Rashad Jennings, if he's healthy, he's going to be active on game day because he's a very good special teams player, and he's an outstanding pass catcher.
Yeah that's, you know, without getting silly with this reference, he's Lenny Moore. He's Lydell Mitchell. You know, he's a better pass catcher than he is a runner. You have to put him into that role. Rashad Jennings is never going to be a pounder. He's never going to run with the same velocity and the same force that Maurice Jones-Drew does. His thing is about making you miss, and guys who make you miss are best doing that out in space. You want to get him the ball out in space and, you know, and let him sidestep a guy, and now if you've got him in stride, you're talking about 220 pounds, you know, rolling. And now he's going to be tough to bring down. But I don't see him as a quick start-stop guy. He's more of a strider.
And I don't want to, you know, get ahead of the story here, but, I mean, you could be looking at three pretty good backs.
Absolutely.
You know, and I want to see more out of Rashad Jennings. And you know who Rashad Jennings reminds me of, although he doesn't have the elite speed of the guy that I'm going to refer to? Chris Warren. You remember Chris Warren played for the Seattle Seahawks, you know, kind of was a, you know, 220, 225-pound running back, real smooth, real fluid, wasn't a real physical runner. But Chris had elite speed. Rashad does not have that, but very similar other than that.
Let me tell you who I think he reminds me of because he's from your era, Ronnie Harmon.
Yeah, a little bit like Ronnie Harmon.
Pass catcher.
Yeah, pass catcher, but he can be better as a running back, and I was disappointed in the game against Indianapolis because, I mean, when he came in the game, you're like, gosh, Rashad, boy, the running game really has dropped off when you were in there. And, you know, come to find out he had a shoulder.
He's a guy who has to kind of get into the flow. I don't think he's a guy you throw
in and
slams into the wall.
He doesn't have time to get into the flow.
That's the problem.
If you're a backup, you got to step onto the field and let that offense just keep on rolling.
Yeah.
You know, you need to find a way to hit the ground running, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
That's what the role is for a backup. Now, like I said, with Deji doing what he did, Rashad may have a hard time getting on the field.
355-NFL1. Let's grab a phone call. Kevin's up the road in Savannah. Welcome to the show, Kevin.
Thank you very much. The question was asked what the offense could do to counteract the pass rush of the Titans. And I think what they need to do is what many callers have previously said, and the Jaguars have been doing the last couple of months. Unfortunately, Vic always tries to shoot it down. It's get Garrard moving out of the pocket, rolling him out, and if they keep that up like they did the last couple of weeks, I think they'll be fine against the pass rush.
Okay, I just don't understand the logic behind that. I think you're envisioning something that is fantasy. They did that last week
Well, you don't have to do it every time.
They stepped out of bounds for a six-yard loss. He had no one to throw to. When you roll a guy out,
you cut the field.
You cut the field in half. His options have been greatly reduced. I really believe he is a West Coast offense quarterback. He's a guy you put in a three-step, five-step drop, get the ball out quickly, throw short passes, distribute the ball. He doesn't throw a good deep ball, and I don't think he throws on the run all that well. And also, I would like to see them take that option play and tear it out of the playbook.
It worked against Indianapolis for a touchdown.
Yeah, it hasn't worked since.
Well, it was only run one time.
Against Indianapolis a couple more
times. Two plays, it got a touchdown and, 25 yards?
You run a quarterback, you get the quarterback hurt. This team cannot afford to get this guy hurt. Whether you like him or don't like him, folks, the bottom line is this team is going nowhere without him.
Okay. But, I mean, I do like I'm not agreeing with Kevin. I'm just saying that every now and again, to combat a great pass rush by moving the pocket like half roll, not necessarily a complete rollout.
What do you call the play?
Change.
He's talking about a sprint out.
Yeah, not a sprint out. A sprint out is when the quarterback truly gets out of the pocket like David did mm-hmm. in Buffalo.
Okay.
A half roll is where the pocket is just moved about 5 yards to the right or 4 yards to the right, and it changes the rush point. And it's difficult for pass rushers to adjust their pass rush to a different point. They did it against Indianapolis. They tried it against Buffalo. Doing that stuff is okay because it doesn't eliminate half of the field.
Right.
It is something that can be added, but it's not something that you can do every time.
What do you call that little rollout that he did to Zach Miller on a couple of different plays?
That's a true bootleg.
Okay.
No, that is a true naked bootleg. The one where he took the sack, which was a very dumb play, was a sprint out. And that was a nice play to Zach Miller. I mean, those things are okay. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's once again, those are kind of half-the-field things, and the play action has to get the defense for that half-the-field to be open.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're due for a break. We'll take it now. More to come. Jaguars This Week from Everbank Field in Jacksonville. Join us, 800-355-NFL1, 355-NFL1, at Jags Voice. If you are on Twitter. More to come on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
All right, folks, tickets still available for the Monday night game against the Titans. There'll be a full-page ad tomorrow in the Florida Times-Union, which will tell you exactly how many, but several. So, hey, want the game on TV, Monday Night Football, 3-2 team, first place in the AFC South.
And against a rival.
Yes. 904-633-2000, jaguars.com. If you are looking for tickets,
would it be undignified to beg?
Please
buy the tickets.
We will. We'll just keep hammering it home, ladies and gentlemen, as we go through the course of the evening. And we talked a lot about David in the last segment. How about the guy on the other side of the ball, Vince Young? Just real quick, 4 touchdowns in 6 games against the Jaguars, 8 interceptions in those mm-hmm. same 6 games, and yet he's 4-2.
Yeah, he's 4-2 because they won despite him in a couple of those instances. The only game that I can think of that he played really well was the last game in November.
15 of 18.
Yeah, he had a good game. His rating, I think, was the highest that he had ever had against the Jaguars, which I think that game was like 118 rating, whatever. But prior to that, he was 40, 50, which is just terrible. They haven't won because of him.
Right.
They've won because of Chris Johnson. He is a manager. But I will say this, that their offensive coordinator has opened up the game plan a little bit more, especially in Dallas. They came out and they were throwing the ball around a little bit.
16 times in the first 25 snaps.
Yeah, and he does throw a decent deep ball, and they're taking shots deep. And I think a lot of that has to do with similar to the Jaguar situation. And you've got a premier running back. You're going to see a lot of 8 in the box, and it's going to leave wide receivers on the outside that are in single coverage. So why not throw it deep? But in the past, they never trusted him to do that much. This year, I think they've trusted him more because they are taking some shots.
If the Titans had David Garrard, they'd win the division. Think about that.
Yeah, and I don't. I I don't agree with that.
No?
No, I don't agree with that.
Then how the heck are the Jaguars going to win the division with him? I mean, you know.
I really don't think that David makes that much of a difference between him or Vince Young.
Vince Young is the worst quarterback in this division, hands down, no question about it. Statistically, schematically, talent-wise, in every way.
Well, statistically, he's rated higher than David.
Okay, we're on a five-game. Is he?
Where
is he right now?
He's ranked 10th.
He's got six touchdowns and two interceptions, and his rating is 95.1.
Okay.
David has nine touchdowns and six interceptions, and his rating is 90.4.
Okay. Career-wise, if you look at him, I think David has a better had a better career than this guy.
Yeah, Vince Young's got a better winning record. So.
I would be willing to bet that most personnel guys would see David Garrard as a cut above Vince Young.
Yeah, probably.
All right. I think that's the only thing that's holding the Titans back. I mean, you just said it.
Well, it's
quarterback's killing him.
Well, I don't agree with that. That's just the style they've played. Are they going to be that much better with David? I don't believe so, because I still don't think that. I mean, if David were Matt Schaub or, you know, Peyton Manning, then you could say, oh, yeah, they could do it.
Well, I disagree with you. I think they've got a quarterback who literally can't throw the ball.
I think he throws it pretty well.
Okay.
You know, they just don't ask a lot of him. Kind of like how the Jaguars treat David at times. They don't ask a lot of him. Just my thought.
Okay.
I think he stinks. I think he is just absolutely awful, and I do not understand why there is this love fest for Vince Young. If he was the quarterback in Jacksonville, these people would be going nuts. I mean,
I'm not saying he's good.
The guy has
no arm. I'm not saying. I mean, his rating is top 10. Okay, is he really a top 10 quarterback? No, he's not a top 10 quarterback.
You got to let it even out here.
Look at the passing attempts. I mean, that tells you what type of quarterback he is right there. I mean,
I'm with you, Vic. I can't get my arms around Vince Young, good quarterback. But when you say even it out, I did do the numbers today as I'm getting ready for the game. If you go back to when he became the starter last year against the Jaguars, remember they put him back in the lineup after the 0-6 start? He is 11-4 since that point.
That's pretty good.
And has thrown 16 touchdowns and 9 interceptions over the course of that run. So, I mean, that tells you statistically they're not asking him to do all that
much. He's got
a
2,000-yard rusher in there.
No, I know. Well, I'm just pointing out.
David had a 1,300-yard rusher.
Okay.
For the style that they play, it seems to fit what they do with him. I have a hard time with Vince Young, you know, being, because I still see this guy who lofts those soft passes down the field. I haven't watched him this year like you have.
He can throw the short stuff all day long. And be pretty accurate. Now, to throw an intermediate route or, you know, a deep out that has to be on a rope and it has to be on time, can't do it. That's not what he does. But the one thing that he does throw pretty well, if it's a go route and he has to put air underneath the ball to allow his wide receiver go and get it, he can make that throw.
Well, let me finish this will be my last thought on Vince Young. In my opinion,
you're a Vince Young hater.
Yeah, I just think he stinks. I'm not trying to couch it in any way. In my opinion, the Titans are going to spend 10 years just pounding on this and pounding on this and pounding on this, and they're going to have wasted 10 years. They're going to have wasted Chris Johnson. They're going to have wasted this defense. They're going to have wasted Jeff Fisher. And it will have been for naught. As far as I'm concerned, they should just cut their losses, draft another quarterback next year, and move on, because this guy is not going to take you to the big game. He is not going to win it all. He is not a championship-caliber quarterback. I don't care what his rating is. I don't care what you see in his eye. I don't care about any of that crap. I don't care if he's a winner.
Can I hear that again?
So, how they say that? You know, I saw it in his eye. You know, the look in his eye and that kind of crap. This guy is going to, at best, he is going to be statistically acceptable. That's it. Period. He ain't ever going to beat Peyton Manning and those types of quarterbacks in big games.
Did you take drama at Kent State?
No, I do not.
Real quick. Sworn you did.
I took, let's see what I took.
No, that was nice.
Real quick. Rusty Smith, their sixth round draft choice this year, the kid from Florida Atlantic.
Rustos.
Yeah. Did you know that you've had sandwiches at Rustos
I've seen his
family owns
there,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I missed that one.
Yeah, he's on the team.
Yes.
He was a draft pick.
Yeah, 6'5", 226.
Nice-sized kid.
Yeah.
You know, I think.
Don't you say anything bad. You'll get a sandwich you'll never forget.
I think the Jaguars have a significant advantage at the quarterback position on Monday night.
I'd agree with that. But the problem is that the Titans have a little bit of an advantage on defense.
A little bit of advantage.
I don't think it's big. I'm not overly impressed. Stinks. I'm not overly impressed with this Titans defense. Yes, they sacked the quarterback 22 times, but how many yards passing have they given up in the last three games?
1,130, which is an average of 377.
377, and they got six interceptions, Vic.
Yeah, I know. Orton really torched him.
So, you
Orton
know, I mean,
did, Peyton, or Eli Manning did, and then...
Eli Manning.
And so did Tony Romo.
You're right. They're 27th against the pass.
Yeah, they're not that good.
I didn't realize they were that bad. No, the Jaguars are just a few.
Their defense is rated 22nd.
Linebackers are average. The front guys are effort guys. The secondary, Cortland Finnegan is not playing at a Pro Bowl level.
No, and there's something.
Michael Griffin is not playing anywhere near he did a couple years ago.
And to support you on this one a little further, one of the games they played was against the Steelers with Charlie Batch, a quarterback, and they barely even tried to run to throw the ball.
I'm glad I convinced you.
Yeah, you did.
We'll take a break on that very positive note for news at the top of the hour here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Welcome back. Jaguars This Week here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Hey, when the Jaguars win, everyone wins at Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue. Get a free barbecue pork sandwich with your game day ticket stub on Monday or Tuesday after the Jaguars win. At all participating Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue restaurants. I wonder if that's modified this week to Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, well, I'll look into that.
All right.
I'm not going into those trash bins again. If looking for those ticket stubs, if they're and compete with the homeless people.
Why don't you just leave a little bucket at every gate for Vic? I bet you you'd get a couple. I bet you would. We have someone on line five.
Tony.
Oh, ticket Tony. Tony.
Hello.
What's up?
Tony Boselli, commissioner of Team Teal. How are you?
Yes, sir. I'm excellent. How are you?
Good.
How many arms you break today?
that's not funny.
Tony is actually going to be in the stadium on Monday night. He's got are you doing a game Sunday and Monday, or are you just doing the sideline here Monday night?
Sunday I'll be in Boston or Foxborough for the Patriots-Ravens game, then I'll be back here Monday night.
Well, you got two good games. Two real good games.
Great games.
Hey, Tony, where are we with the tickets, man?
I think tomorrow will be under three.
Tomorrow's Thursday.
Yeah, we have until Friday.
Where will we be on Friday?
Especially we'll be Friday. Sold out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This thing's gonna be sold out one way or another.
so you're gonna write a check for the remaining tickets?
No, I'm not. It'll be on TV.
Well, I hope
that.
How about that for a news alert? I just hope that.
Well, that's not public information.
It is now. We're on the radio, Tony. What did you think?
I just hope that the house is packed and the crowd is loud. That's what I want to see. Mm-hmm. Because when you put out your product, your city, for Monday Night Football, you want to show it off.
Yep.
No, absolutely. It will be. You know, we joke a lot about it, where we are at ticket sales. I think we're going to be just under 3,000 tomorrow. And we're going to get it on TV because we've come so far, and Vic jokes about breaking arms and everything else. It hasn't been breaking arms. It's been the fact that people in this community know that this is, an important part of the community, important part of Jacksonville, and they love the Jaguars. So we've supported. They've come out the first three games. I have zero doubt. And I think it'll legitimately be sold out by Friday. And I expect a great crowd. And Jeff, you're right. This is the time. We've made such a huge statement the first 3 weeks that you would hate to lose all momentum and on a national stage have all the national media that have not done a very good job of following the story all of a sudden, reload their guns with new ammo to say, oh, see, no one. This is not a real NFL market, and they don't even show up on Monday night. So it's critical. We got to fill the stadium. We got to sell the tickets, and and we got to make sure this thing sold out Monday night, and actually sold out, not just as Vic and I were joking about me buying tickets, which I'm not, or anyone else buying a big block of tickets and having empty seats. We need the fans to buy the tickets, and I think they will.
Well, because, you know, last year, you know, you had the national game on NFL Network, Thursday Night Football.
Colts came in December.
And then this year you have this opportunity. And for so many years, you know, the national media would see the games on TV and there would be empty seats. And unfortunately, a lot of them have been inaccurate in describing the attendance at games so far this year. Mm-hmm. And it drives you nuts. But the only way to get that to stop is for them to see it. And Mike Ditka made a
his comment
dumb comment last week or the week before.
You're being really nice, saying dumb. Well, yeah. Idiotic, stupid. It was ignorant. What else? Give any other adjective you want to add there.
I was trying to be nice, Tony.
I know, but I'm no nice Jeff to be nice. Tonight.
You're,
not nice,
you're breaking arms, Tony. You know, I'm not a nice Jeff.
Well, Vic calls me the one who writes checks and breaks arms, and I do neither.
So I got him all fired up. This goes back to my days when I used to go to him for interviews. I mean, I knew the buttons to push.
Oh, yeah, trust me. And the national media pushed them. I mean, it drives me crazy. And here's the thing. This is why, you know, Jeff, you're so right. I mean, it doesn't matter what we say. It doesn't. They've made up their minds. They've written the story. A lot of them are lazy. It's easier to actually just write the story that 15 other people have written that haven't done their homework than actually dig in and find out what's really going on in Jacksonville. But it doesn't matter what we say. We have to show them. It's a show-me game. It's like what you did, Jeff, just like when we played football. You can talk all you want, but sooner or later you got to show up to the game and show what you're made of and what kind of player you are. It's the same here as the fan base. We have to show them. And so that's why, you know, all joking aside, what I said before, I don't want the organization to write a check, you know, and you know, some behind-the-scenes thing and write a check for the last 1,000 tickets. I mean, I don't want that to happen because I want, as of Friday, I want this thing to say it's sold out. And then come Monday night, I want that place packed. In fact, I want more people than ever because I want those East club seats to somehow get sold as well, and so that the atmosphere is like it's been the last 3 weeks, but even better. And you want to talk about sending a national message because the game of the week, Monday night, everyone's going to be talking about it, and they go, man, Jacksonville's got something going on there. That's a packed house. That's a rabid fan base. And the only way we do that is if we buy the tickets and put butts in the seats.
Well, and I know you were calling a game for the Indianapolis Colts, the last home game. But, man, what an atmosphere. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tony, that was as good as I've seen it since we were playing. I mean, the place was rocking.
Everything.
Oh, it was awesome, Jeff. I mean, it was one of those things. It was one of those games and you and Brian get to do the home broadcast, so you get to let a little bit of the more of the emotions as your Jaguar fan side show. But you know, I'm a Jaguar fan at heart. But doing the national broadcast, you know, I got to be critical of both teams and kind of and not root and you know and be a professional, which I do.
Are you saying we're unprofessional?
I try to be professional. I mean, I haven't lived up to the standards of you and Vic, and I think I've reached log at least. That's athletes. We're not quite the media types you guys are, but. With that, I'll tell you that.
I know that was a shot.
When the ball, Scobie's kick went through the field goal, or through the uprights, how good was that? Yeah. How good of a moment was that with Scobie running around like he was a soccer player? I was just waiting for him to take his shirt off and, you know, slide on the ground or do whatever those soccer guys do. But running around, the crowd going crazy, and nobody left. I mean, that was as good as, I'll say that. I mean, we've all played in a lot of different atmospheres, a lot of different things. That's as good as it gets in the NFL. I mean, it was that good. It was a great – it just shows you what the fan base is like here and how we respond. So I'm looking forward to the same thing Monday night.
Let me say this. Everything Tony is saying is right on the mark. I mean, there hasn't been one thing he said that is not accurate. And he has become – always was, and now more so than ever, he's the fan's advocate.
All right, Tony, kind of now that we've wrapped up tickets – Brad Meester is going to start his 151st game Monday night against the Tennessee Titans. That's maybe, from a guy that's played the game me, that is an unbelievable accomplishment. Durability, consistency, playing at a high level. Brad, I think, at some point, has got to have some consideration of joining you in the Jaguar pride in the ring.
You know,
I mean, for a guy that's been around that long.
He's been great, Loggy. You know, his rookie year was the second to last year I was there, and he started 16 games next to me. And from day one, the guy knew how to play at a high level. And the guy was a really good football player, started at guard, ended up being a center. And you have to be a good football player to play that long. I mean, you just got to be good at what you do, because it's a league where they're trying to replace you every year, as Vic likes to say, and I agree with him. It's a young man's game, and they're always trying to replace the old guys. And so you got to be good. That's the first thing. You got to be durable. You got to be durable. You got to be tough. You got to play through injuries. You have to be a guy who works hard, not only in the season, but this is what impresses me about Brad and anyone that plays this game for a long time. You have to be dedicated in the offseason, because you're rehabbing injuries, you're coming back from surgeries, and you have to prepare yourself to come back and to compete again. And then the last thing, you've got to be a little bit lucky. And Brad is a guy that is a Jaguar that I'm happy for a couple reasons that he's playing so well this year. One, because it helps our team win. But two, I want Brad to play here for years to come, and so he can retire as a Jaguar and not to go anywhere else. And you have to play well to do that, and he's doing that this year. So, I mean, hats off to Brad. I mean, he's going to be absolutely a guy that is going to be one of the names in this young franchise's history that people are going to think of when they talk about the Jaguars.
Well, he talks a little bit more than he did back in 2000.
Loggy, he didn't say a word. He was, I thought he was a mute. I was like, well,
an island mute.
He was seriously sitting next to me. He left guard next to me, and I'd look at him, and I'd make a call, and he wouldn't say anything. Or I'd hear the center make a call, and he wouldn't say anything. Finally, I'd be yelling at him. I said, Brad, will you tell me what is going on? You cannot just sit here and be a dumb mute and not say a word. And he just looked at me with these big eyes from Northern Iowa, like, what are you talking about? And finally, by the end of the year, he started talking. But he went from a young guy who just put his head down, minded his own business, and worked hard to really the leader. You know, he might be the leader on the offense, but he's definitely the leader of that room, the offensive line, and he's a great, great guy to have on your team, and the guy who plays the game the right way. And you know, we talk. I don't know if guys get enough credit for that, of playing the game the right way.
Stay in Iowa for just a second. The impact of Aaron Campman, from what you've seen, and I say it because I think Brad really has gotten a lift from having Aaron around this year.
Well, I mean, it's one of his best friends, and I mean, his family by marriage, and Aaron Campman's a guy that he just works hard. He plays hard. He's a good guy. He's a guy that is respected in the locker room for just as much as the way what he says, but how he goes about his business. And he's a guy that forces other people to be accountable. And I think that maybe has been missing a little bit in this locker room the last few years. There's an accountability factor that has to be on a team. There has to be an expectation level that you're going to live up to a certain standard in everything you do, whether it's off season, game time, practice. And a coach can establish that at some level. But at some level, it has to be the guys in that locker room that just expect a certain level of effort, expect a certain level of play, and then they keep everyone accountable to it. I think one of the things that if you look at when Jeff and I played in the locker room, there was a bunch of different personalities, but there was a lot of guys that made everyone else feel accountable of how they played and how they acted. And I think Aaron Campman has been a great value to this team, in addition to this team, because he's a great player and sacks the quarterback, which is important. But I think just as important is what he brings to the fabric of this team, the locker room, on the field, the practice field, and just around kind of the atmosphere he creates.
When I ask, because he plays like a guy that you used to compliment, Michael McCreary. I mean, he's just constantly in motion.
In that case, he's just flat crazy. I mean, in the sense of they're unstoppable. I mean, they're just like this in perpetual motion. And the only way, I mean, I don't know if it's legal anymore. I just try to hit him in the back of the head and spear him or whatever I had to do to stop McCreary, because guys like him and Campman don't stop until the play's over or they sack the quarterback. And I didn't want him sacking the quarterback and the play being over. I couldn't risk that whistle being blown. So you got to jump on him and try to lay on him so they can't get up.
Talk to Mark. How's he enjoying New York and that circus up there?
Well, I think he's having fun. He's been able to extend his career and got to win the Super Bowl last year. And I think he thinks he's on a team that can win a Super Bowl this year. And the thing that I know he enjoys is the fact that he likes Mark Sanchez a lot. He thinks he's a kid that doesn't have just a chance to be good, that he's going to be good. Sooner or later, he's going to be a franchise quarterback, and he's starting it right now. And so I think that's fun for Mark. He enjoys Mark Sanchez. He enjoys being on a good team that has a chance to win. And he's been fortunate to extend his career like he has in New Orleans and now in New York. And You know, he turned 40 a couple weeks ago. He is old and gray and somehow keeps on getting it done.
As old as Favre.
Hey, yeah,
he's a year younger than Favre, but does not have near the issues Favre has right now.
Hey, Tony, the next time you're talking to Mark, would you ask him if he could get me an autographed picture from Jen Sturger?
I don't think she's with the Jets anymore, Vic. I think no? You're going to have to call her publicist or maybe go to the website that she has that you can request a personal interview.
Hey, Vic,
she's
looking for... maybe we can call Brett and get you an autographed picture of Little Brett.
Little Brett.
Hey, Vic, just be careful of what text messages you send.
Oh, baby.
I
don't. Doesn't know what it is.
I don't even know how to do it.
Hey, it's been fun, Tony. Stop by the studio some Wednesday night and jump in here and, you know, throw your voice in the mix.
And we'll see you Monday night.
Hey, guys, anytime. Hey, we got to buy those tickets because Vic, I don't want to have to come to you and make you buy tickets on Friday. So, you know, make sure we get all the listeners out there, tell their friends, let's fill this place up and send a very, very loud and clear message to the national media and the national fan base that Jacksonville is an NFL market and we have great fans.
Hey, Tony, one day I'll call on you to do a service.
He never gets too far from the Godfather with him, does he?
Never too far from the Godfather. All right.
Have a good night. See you later. All right, long segment there, but we don't get to talk to Tony Boselli all that often on this show, and so when we get it, we take advantage of it. We'll take a break and return. More to come. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, only on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Fun to have Tony Boselli on. Do it more often. Brian Sexton, Vic Ketchman, Jeff Loggeman.
Yeah.
Well, what is it with Joe not turning your microphone on? What did you do?
What did you do to Joe?
You mean I haven't been heard at any time on
the
show?
No, not at all.
Yours is always loud. 355-NFL-1.
I don't like your Godfather references to these
Joe Italian. Joe is of Italian-American heritage.
Here, spaghetti bender.
Oh, that's shot.
You know, I was eating a piece of pizza the other day, and I was eating it with a knife and fork, and I thought he was going to fall over dead. What was it you called me that at that moment?
Metagon.
Spoon and fork, Joe, right?
I was eating pizza.
Twirl it in the spoon. Oh, you were eating pizza. I'm sorry.
Knife and fork. I didn't realize it. South Philly, ladies and gentlemen. He's still glaring at you.
Yeah.
Horse head in your bed. Let's grab Michael from Nashville. Hello, Michael. Welcome to the show.
Hey, y'all. How's it going?
Good.
Good. First of all, I just want to say I'm pumped about this game. Being a Jaguar fan living in Nashville, no game means more to me. But anyways, I just want to ask about Tyquan Underwood. He looks so good against the Colts. I really liked what I saw, and I didn't see him at all in our last game. So should we expect to see him out there against the Titans?
I don't think there's any doubt you're going to see him out there against the Titans. The one thing that I did see in Buffalo was there was more of the tight end Zach Miller on the field, who had two catches in that game. But Tyquan was still on the field. He just didn't register a catch.
He's a field stretcher, and they didn't need a field stretcher in Buffalo. They just needed a pounder, and you know, and they just pounded the devil out of the Bills, controlled the time of possession.
They will have him on the field and often this week. Yeah, I guarantee that.
Because the Titans will play a lot of press coverage, and you can get deep on them.
You can get deep on Courtland Finnegan right now. Mm-hmm. You know, Courtland Finnegan.
Aggressive?
No, you know what he's doing? He's acting like he's got to try to make an interception every play, and at times he's disregarding what his role is.
He's playing trail technique?
No, he's kind of doing his own thing.
Oh, he's freelancing.
A little bit.
Likes to support against the run
and
drift over in the
middle. Likes to gamble a little bit, cutting underneath the routes when he needs to be on the top. Hmm. You know. Rasheen does that at times.
That's been his MO from time to time.
He fell down a lot last week. Did you notice that on the tape?
Rasheen?
Yeah, it always seemed he was getting up off a knee.
Didn't have a very good game. You know, and we said during the broadcast that, they need him to pick it up. You know, if the defense is going to take steps, it's got to have that man in the mirror approach, and that he's got to find a way to get his level of play higher.
You know what the crazy part is? The most beleaguered of the defensive backs, probably played the best game last week.
Derek Cox.
Yeah.
Played pretty well.
He probably played better than any of their defensive backs, and he's been the most harshly criticized of the group.
Should have had that interception down the sideline.
Yeah, hit him right in the hands.
On Lee Evans.
But, you know, the best part about that is that the other guy didn't catch it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's where we saw Derek struggle prior to right. was keeping up down the field, and he was right there step for step.
By the way, you get the sense that Don Carey is going to step into the starting lineup before too long at safety?
Oh, he's the new flavor of the week, so to speak. I mean, he's the new salvation.
You know what
position,
he is?
But
you know what he is? This
I know
is,
they're mad at Anthony Smith.
Yeah. You know what this is? This is like situational defensive back. You know, third down, you know, you take out the big Pat Williams type nose tackle and you bring in a pass rushing type. What they're doing is they're taking out Anthony Smith and inserting Don Carey in. And at times in their multiple defensive back package, they had Tyron Brackenridge out there as well, and Anthony was on the sidelines.
You know, look at it this way. Along the way, every time one of these guys has been inserted into the lineup, he has immediately become the answer. At one point last year, Gerald Alexander was the answer, and then Anthony Smith became the answer, and then David Jones in week one when he replaced when he came in late in the game to replace Derek Cox, he became the answer at corner.
Right.
And in each case, someone else has had to replace these guys to be the new answer. I think the solution is going to come in the drafts of the next 2 years. They're just going to have to find a way to get by with what they have.
All right, we'll take a break. Test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta when you visit your local Southern Ford dealers. More to come. Jaguars this week continues from Everbank Field after this on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Final 23 minutes of Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, Vic Ketchman, Joe Fortunato. You can join us, 355-NFL1, 800-355-NFL1. Let's grab a couple of phone calls. Mike is on the west side. Mike, thanks for holding so long. How are you tonight?
I'm good. How about yourself, my friend?
Good.
Man, first thing I want to say is it's a pleasure to come on after Baselli, man. That's just an honor. But I just want to ask about the defensive line, man. Do you guys think later on in the season, once they get a chance to gel together, I mean, they're playing damn darn good right now, but once they get a chance to gel together, you think they're going to be better? And the same thing with the secondary, with Don Carey moving back to free safety, Cox coming back in. Once they get a chance to gel, do you think they're going to come together and stop giving up 300 yards a game?
I'll start on this one. The line isn't going to get anything but better. It's just going to get better and better and better. And not only this year, but in the years after. I mean, this line is on the arrows pointing up, the defensive line's arrows pointing up, and it's going to point up for the next several years. In the secondary, I just don't see that situation getting better this year. I don't see it getting better until they can address it in the offseason with personnel. But if they continue to get better on the defensive front, they can commit more people to the secondary. They can do some things with smoke and mirrors, so to speak. But that's going to have to be a deficiency they're going to have to find a way to disguise and overcome all year long, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you on the defensive line's assessment. One thing I think one way that they will get better is finding guys that are going to be, you know, game day regulars. You know, they've been having a lot of different guys active. Cohen was active for a game at defensive tackle. Dusable's been active for the most part. You know, last week you had Austin Lane, Jeremy Mincy, and Derek Harvey. You know, at some point you're not going to be able to keep all of those defensive linemen active. So you're going to have to kind of define and let those guys compete for that game day roster spots. Larry Hart's got to start doing something. So they'll get better. I still believe the secondary can get better. And the reason I say that, if Derek Cox gets back to playing at or above the level that he played at last year, that will be an improvement. If Rasheen starts playing back to his form of a couple years ago, that will get better.
What if you get an injury to one of those guys? See, that
I don't even want to think.
Okay. I'm sorry for that.
Yeah. And I think safety. I think, you know, they're going to be able to find a way by doing what they did in Buffalo last week, having roles. You know, I think the more that they learn these guys, because you look at the secondary, you know, Courtney Green is relatively new. Joe Alexander is still fairly new. Anthony Smith is fairly new. I mean, all these guys are just joining the team. The more that they learn about them, the better that the coaches will be able to put them in positions that they can succeed. And so I think that throughout the season, they will get better.
A couple more thoughts quickly. Ryan Fitzpatrick had guys open last week, Sunday. He threw behind them. He threw over them. He was wild. I mean, there were yards that he left on the field with his receivers. The other thing I wanted to say is that in Tyson Alualu's case, here's a guy who has already achieved the ability to hold the point. The next level for him is going to be chase the ball, and he's going to do that. He's going to go from hold the point to chase the ball. And when this guy goes to chase the ball, when he gets to the point that he can start, when he can shed blocks and chase the ball, look out. He's going to be dynamite.
Yep. 5 games into his career. That's all the further he is right now.
Yeah, and I know. And he's holding the point. Right. Jeff, am I right?
No, he's good. I mean, he's active. He pursues. He's got really strong hips. He can chase to the ball. And, you know, when you watch the play, every time it finishes, he's around the ball. And sooner or later, he's going to learn how to split a double team, to read blocks, to read schemes, and he'll be better. I mean, think about Marcus Stroud. Remember Marcus Stroud, his first year?
It was about this time, Game 5, that he had a disaster in Seattle against Steve Hutchinson, who was a rookie, I believe, also.
Yeah, no, he was. Yeah.
And Hutchinson just kicked his butt all over Husky Stadium.
Tyson is farther along at this point in his career than Marcus Stroud
was.
No
question.
No doubt. So keep that in mind when you're thinking about his development.
355-NFL1. Appreciate the phone call. We move along. Let's get Jim, who's on the south side, who's been hanging a while. Hello, Jim. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How are you doing tonight?
Good.
I got a couple things. One real quick was in reference to Tony Baselli's conversation about ticket sales. If you guys remember last year when we were able to get the seats, the blackout listed for that Indy game, that was in prime time. It was like a 3-hour commercial on NFL Network about how great Jacksonville was. The commentators, I mean, literally, just it was a love fest. And
yes,
then we played a great game. And that did so much for the perception. And this could be bigger than that, because this is a game where we're 3-2, Tennessee's 3-2. If we can sell out this stadium and then have, you know, John Gruden and those guys, you know, saying, you know, look, this crowd is loud and the lights are on, the city's beautiful and the team's great. That would be amazing.
And they would do that. I mean, I promise you.
You know Gruden would.
Absolutely. I promise you those guys would jump all over the opportunity to do that. You know why? Because it would be news. It would be something new. They would be getting a scoop, so to speak. The national media, quote unquote national media, has been dogpiling, has been pooping on this town for at least the last 2 years, and the chance to take the opposite approach would be very welcome by these guys, and they would jump all over it.
Appreciate the phone call, 355-NFL1. Let's go to Larry, who's on the west side. Larry, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Listen, I'm a huge David Garrard fan, and I truly believe that he can be a top 10 quarterback in this league right now. But the difference I see, and that I would like to see him more, is to lead the receivers where when they catch the ball, they can run after they make the catch. The one drawback I see with David is he throws the ball hard into the receiver's chest, but it's not at a point where they're in stride. And I just wanted to get your opinion about that.
Larry, when you think about run after the catch, you got to think about something before that.
The hit after the catch.
No, you got to think about the timing of the delivery of the ball so they can run after the catch. And if David can get better, and this is something that he's never been particularly strong with, if he can get the ball out to them faster, when there's more separation, then you leave the receiver more room to run after the catch. So a lot of that falls on David from a timing standpoint. Faster reads, faster throws, faster timing. That would allow more run after the catch. Joe Montana was the magician of that. mean, he threw the ball when the receiver wasn't even breaking into the cut yet. And then once his receiver got the ball, as soon as their eyes turned, the ball was there. Catch, boom, there was separation, and Jerry Rice and John Taylor used to just run forever. And it was because the ball got there to allow that guy to run. And David has to do better with that.
If you can get the ball to your receiver while the defensive back is in the act of turning his hips, now the receiver's got a chance. He's got the drop on the defensive back. But if you're getting the ball to him as the defensive back is closing on the receiver, he's going to get whacked.
That's been David's biggest deficiency, is the ability to get the ball there in a timelier fashion. If there's one critique that really he needs to improve on, that's it.
355-NFL-1, John's in Green Cove Springs. Hello, John.
Yeah, you hit right on the point. He sees them open, and then he throws the ball. He needs to see when they're going to get open before he throws the ball. But the point that I was going to call on is when Vic was talking about Vic Young and everything else, I mean, the thing is, I think the Vic Catchman of the Titans is probably saying the same thing about David.
Probably.
And, you know, and I really think David is an adequate quarterback, and that's what he is. And
I would agree, but I don't think Vince Young is adequate. That's my point. I'm not elevating David. I'm saying I think he is adequate, whereas I don't think the other guy is. I think he holds them back.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I usually agree with you 100%, Vic, because I love talking to you. You usually everything I hear you saying, I'm thinking in my head, too.
But is this your brother?
As I say it.
Yeah, just let him go. He's doing a good job.
Appreciate the call,
Thank
John.
You, John.
We'll take a break. Come back with one more segment of Jaguars This Week on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
10 minutes left in the program. If you'd like to jump on board, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. The last time the Jaguars played these Titans, Chris Johnson ran wild. 228 yards, touchdown runs of 52 and 89 yards.
That was the Reggie Nelson fest.
Yeah, and you know, I think if I recall correctly, that was a bad day for Gerald Alexander also.
Yeah, Reggie's problems were in pass coverage, and he had the one missed tackle from the corner position, if you remember. That's when he made the move to corner for a game. Didn't last long. Yeah. Have you heard anything on him in Cincinnati?
Backup player, special teams guy in Cincinnati. I think one game he had a big missed tackle or missed coverage that cost him. He's not going to make the Jaguars pay for that trade.
All right, let me ask you this. Another question to you, Vic. You're plugged in. Mm-hmm. Mortensen was talking about, or somebody was talking about, maybe Mike Sims-Walker could be traded. Head coach vehemently denied.
Here's the way that went down. Mortensen threw that out there as a kind of blog opinion. Well, you know, geez, I mean, if they're not going to use him, then maybe they'll trade him. Then Mike Florio of ProFootballTalk.com picked it up and reported it as fact. All right?
That's the world we live in.
That is the cyber world we live in. I'm ashamed to say.
Journalism is a completely different world.
Exactly. It's, hey, whatever gets the visits, you know, that's good news.
It's more about tweets.
Jack, I'm not going to say went ballistic, but he went off on Monday in his comments about it. I mean, he was upset, and he was very strong, in his rebuff of those reports. So as far as I can tell, based on my reporter's instincts, there can't be anything to that, or you wouldn't go on and on chapter and verse in a denial. You would say, we're very happy with Mike. You know, that's usually what they say when they're trying to lie. They don't say there's absolutely no truth to that and go on and then attack the attacker. No, plus we're past the deadline now anyhow, so
you know
what does it matter,
on
right?
Monday
we're
night.
Past the deadline,
yeah,
right?
Right. On Monday night, when we had David on the show,
mm-hmm.
when we went to the break and you went over to the smart board, I had not heard about this trade rumor, and I just innocently said to David, you know, how is this guy doing, Mike Sims-Walker? He got real tight-lipped, real defensive, didn't want to talk about it. I didn't realize that there was a rumor out there at that time. I had not seen it at the point. So there's a lot of people that are very sensitive about Mike Sims-Walker and whatever production or lack of it he's had.
I thought his comments last week were way off.
Whose comments?
Mike Sims-Walker. Sometimes it's a play calling, whoa, you know. So no, we start by hanging out the offensive coordinator to dry, and then what was it? It was sometimes it's the coverage, and that's kind of...
Sometimes it's a quarterback.
Right. I mean, you know, hey, when is it sometimes Mike?
Yeah, when's it sometimes maybe I need to be better on route?
Yeah.
Let's grab Danny and Fernandina next up on Jaguars this week. Hello, Danny.
Hold on, Danny. Just one thing. It's not that anything that he said was wrong. It was wrong to not add himself.
Right.
Okay.
Now, Danny, you're up. What's going on tonight?
Hey, guys. That's right along the lines of my questions. First, I had a comment about Jaguars.com. And, Vic, as always, you do a great job. You've educated a lot of people in North Florida about NFL and the access that we can talk to the players online. I got on there with Deji Kareem the other day. Just great access for all of us, and we're very grateful for that. Last game in Buffalo, it seems like Sims-Walker came alive maybe in the fourth quarter. Were they, Jeff, you could probably answer this better than anybody else, had they moved to cover Mercedes, maybe shift the safeties in that direction, and that helped open up things for Mike Sims-Walker?
No. David early in the game had Mike on a couple plays and just didn't get him.
I'll tell you what I think. When something happens that abruptly, that a guy doesn't catch a ball, doesn't have a ball thrown at him, and then all of a sudden he catches four in one drive, he's the star. I mean, that tells me the order came down from the top. Somebody said to David, throw Mike the ball.
He's open.
Right. Someone just flat told him, get him the ball.
And look, hey, that's a game that I expected Mike to get open. Mm-hmm. Mike is better against a zone-style defense than he is against man. Against man, he doesn't get a whole lot of separation. That's my criticism of Mike, is that he needs to run better routes to be able to get better separation in man or in bump.
He's not an explosive guy off the line. He's what they call a build-to-speed guy. You know, he doesn't have a burst.
Mike can have success against zone all day long. Where Mike needs to get better at, and I was disappointed that, you know, that this wasn't said in that article, was that he needs to get better in certain areas. There are things that Mike can do to get better.
Yeah, the coaches, you know, they kind of babied him in that story. You know, I mean, they didn't. They were soft.
Danny, we appreciate the phone call.
I always believe that there's something that you can do better, no matter how good you're doing. You can always get better. You know, and during the broadcast on Sunday, I mentioned Tyquan Underwood's article. You know, young players still got a lot to learn. And Ronnie Lott and Art Monk taught me this when I was with the Jets. They said, if you ever think that you've arrived and you've done enough and you can't get better, is when you get worse. And so I wish Mike had taken a little bit more ownership in his play. And you contrast that to Underwood, which, you know, young player, so obviously different circumstance. But he said, I'm working to get better all the time, and that's what he learned from Torrey Holt.
Yeah, I said something on the Monday show that Cole kind of took me to task on, but I believe it. We have a lot of players on other teams talking to players on other teams. You know, a lot of fraternization going on. Hey, sometimes you worry that seeds may be planted to disrupt your calm on your team. I mean, I don't. If I'm a coach, I don't particularly want my players talking to the enemy, because I don't know to what degree they may be the victim of subterfuge, you know?
Is there more of that this year because of
sabotage, whatever? I mean, you know, of something deceitful.
Is there more of that this year with the labor negotiation?
I think so. I think, you know, it's kind of them against the world.
There's always been some of that.
Always. It's been there forever.
Well, Mike's got a thing with Brandon Marshall.
Yeah.
You know, and he's not the kind of guy. I mean, that's not exactly the guy
too.
I want my man talking to.
Chris,
you know?
Johnson, too.
I mean, I can think of some other guys that would prefer, you know, as opposed to a me guy.
Well, you're kind of a me guy, too. Ask Vic. Ask me.
What a troublemaker you are. You know you agree with me 100%. Everything I'm saying right now, you believe to be true.
Just having a little fun with you there.
When did anyone compliment Brandon Marshall on what comes out of his mouth?
No one. A couple games this weekend. Take a look at. How about Kansas City and Houston?
Okay.
What
I want to know about Houston is this fade time? I mean, did they have their fun early and now they're just, you know, like water seeking their own level?
Yeah, they've got pounded pretty good at home the last two times they've played there. But that's the one that interests me because you play Kansas City next and Houston's a division opponent. So obviously that one. Baltimore at New England.
Kansas City went toe-to-toe with Indy.
Yeah, Baltimore-New England, that's primo game in the AFC. Yeah,
it's an early game.
Who's
Atlanta-Philadelphia is a pretty darn
good game.
Absolutely. That's a big one in the NFC. How about where's Indy? Bye?
Indianapolis is at Washington. Then they go to their bye week.
Ooh, Indy at Washington.
Good game.
Yeah, that's one that bears watching.
Washington's on a real roll here. I mean, how are they playing on defense?
I haven't seen them.
But they held the Green Bay Packers to... what, 13 points?
Yeah.
So they're obviously doing something right. And here's one that everyone will be watching for probably the wrong reasons. That is Dallas and Minnesota. A couple of 1-3 teams.
That's a good bye bowl. Because somebody's going
bye-bye. You're right.
Team falls to 1-4. You can just about write that season off is what you're saying.
Yeah, where's
who
that
wins
at?
That game? Who wins that game?
It's at the Metrodome.
Cowboys win. I think... I think Brett and Little Brett are gone. I think they are gonski.
Oh, please. All right.
So, Little Brett. You're killing me with that.
You like it, huh?
I do. I like that. Well, I don't like that. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't want to get anybody to get confused here.
Jeff and Little Jeff.
No.
All right, that'll do it. The Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue tailgate show begins at 5:30 on Monday evening, folks. Get ready. Get your tickets. They're available at jaguars.com. Have a good night.